Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. We continue broadcasting live from Rally House up at Barry Woods Crossing, getting you set to get all your gear for Sunday as the Chiefs take on the Eagles. And of course, till 2 o'clock we'll be here, which means you've got about an hour, just under an hour, to come and register to win a $250 Rally House gift card. So why not? Yeah, you can get a nice jersey or two for that. You can get some shirts, you can get all your tailgate gear. I see they have an awesome cornhole board set right behind you, Cody, as well.
Oh, yeah.
For your tailgate out at Arrowhead. So, of course, you guys know Rally House is the place to get stocked up on all your gear, whatever you need, whether it's for the Chiefs, whether it's for the Royals, or big college football weekends ahead this fall. Coming up in about 35 minutes, you'll hear our conversation we had a little bit earlier today with Tyrann Mathieu, former Chiefs safety, obviously a Super Bowl champion, and he will be banging the drum out at Arrowhead on Sunday. He's fired up for that. We got some insight from him on what to expect adjustment-wise from a Steve Spagnuolo defense and kind of what the conversation is like these kind of weeks when you come off a loss like the Chiefs did. Thinking of the Chiefs, we got a little update from the practice report.
Yeah, really interesting update from the practice field today. Has been the case the entire week. Jalen Royals will not practice today. Now, notice I said Jalen Royals will not practice today because the Chiefs said that Xavier Worthy will work in some capacity at Chiefs practice today.
Is that just like jogging on the sideline or what?
I don't know, man. I seriously doubt we'll get the practice report later today. Is there a chance Xavier Worthy plays this Sunday?
No.
I mean, this certainly implies next Sunday's in play, right?
I give it a...
Because he's already back on the practice field.
Yeah, I give it a 1% chance, if not less.
I'm officially like 5% or 10, I don't know. If he's actually out there practicing.
The benefit of hearing this and seeing this is, could it mean that he's only out for 2 weeks, not four? I think that's the benefit, not three, I should say. But I think... We should not take this as he's actually in play. He could be limited at practice today, and that means he could honestly just be doing like walking through,
and just seeing how it feels while he runs.
Yeah, or I don't know.
You have to admit you didn't expect him on a practice field this week.
No, but I just want to know what's that like? Is he catching a football already? Is he, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm gonna guess limited participant.
What's that look like? Yes, it is a good sign, and it's why they didn't put him on IR. They think he'll be ready before 4 weeks are up.
I was surprised to see it. That's all. Multiple people who were covering the Chiefs today said that
I'm guessing he's walking
Xavier
through.
Worthy is going to be on the practice field in some capacity today for the Chiefs. You might be right. It might be a simple, but like if you don't want to risk it, you don't put him on the practice field at all.
Walk.
Sure,
he can walk if they're doing a drill and they're just.
Let's say you work on the side. They'll just put you as a non-participant and have you do stuff in the facility away from any prying eye. This to me indicates a desire to have him back on the field by next week. Like, let's just see, you know, like the 5% Hail Mary chance that he gets out there. He's like, nah, he feels pretty good. What if we have a package? I wouldn't risk it because the risk is still the same. If this thing separates again, it's surgery and he's done. That's just reality.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets it dislocated again, it is surgery and he's done. That's the way these injuries typically work. More likely that would be the scenario. If he were to get hurt again, I wouldn't push it. But I think it's a pretty good sign that in the next, like you said, the injury was going to be a month, maybe it's not a month. Maybe this time when Andy said day by day, he meant it. He doesn't always mean it, but maybe this time he did. And Xavier Worthy really is we see him next Tuesday or Wednesday, and he's practicing in full. He is going to be available for that game against the Giants. I might try to hope Ravens game if I were them. Might not risk it against New York if he didn't play this weekend. But maybe a sign that he's closer, Gold, that's all.
Someone said Xavier Worthy dislocated his shoulder, not break a hand or finger. Yeah, but you're still about catch radius. You're still talking about being able to extend and catch a football, you know. So there's a yes, he did not break a hand, but a dislocated shoulder, even from a practice perspective, could still present some problems.
This makes me think there's like a 10% chance he's playing Sunday.
You just bumped it up 5% more in the last.
I'm up to 10%.
Like 2 minutes ago, it was.
I said 5 to 10. Then I'm moving up.
No, if he does play,
I'm up to an official 10%.
You also know that whenever he plays, it could be whenever. Everybody's going to be going for that shoulder.
Sure.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
They're not even going to try.
Get him in space. You know, get down, man.
Yeah, he will. Whenever he gets back on a field in a game, and I guess even
I'll be afraid for every hit he takes.
He's going to be wearing a brace or a harness, whatever you want to phrase it, to protect the shoulder, to hold it in place, and all of that. And it's going to be a worry throughout the entire season. It feels like, and it's a good sign, even if it's light work, and he's walking through something, a practice. It means another week or two becomes more realistic. And I think the fact that he did not end up on IR yesterday was the sign that they think it's clearly less than 4 weeks. But I'll maintain this. There is always still the possibility he goes through practices. He goes through all this.
And then eventually
they're like, well, he can't do what we need him to do, or he doesn't feel right, and he needs surgery still or something like that. That's worst case scenario stuff, but it still is in play. But I do like seeing that he's at least out there. It's tricky because we do not – limited participant could mean so many things. We do not know exactly what they're having him do. And
practice report comes out later today. We'll get a sense.
Sure, but they don't – but the media is only able to watch, 5 minutes or 10 minutes of this practice, right? Like, they're not going to see anything is my guess.
Will they get to see the entire thing? No. But if they're also saying he's going to practice, I would guess he's out on the field for the media available portion that you can see. But maybe not. It could be certainly different than that. I'm not ruling out. I'm just saying it's a good sign no matter what. We can take it that way for starters. No matter what, him practicing today is a very, 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 very good sign for the timeline of his injury. Does it mean he's playing this week? No, I just said there's a 90% chance in my head he's not. I just went up to 10% on the possibility.
The show,
are you willing to move from your 1%?
No.
Drew, what's your percentage?
What, he plays this Sunday?
That he plays this Sunday.
Zero. He's not
Zero?
Playing.
Zero?
He's not playing.
You don't even want the 1% like gold?
He will not play.
I think it is 1%. And next week, let's see where we're at, and maybe it gets bumped up to 50% next week.
Anyone else impressed for the way the NFL works and the way sources work? Anyone else really impressed at the lack of national reporting related to his injury? It has been kept, and local reporting, it has been kept very close to the chest. That's why I'm 10%. You want to know why, Gold? I'm at 10% because part of me is like, wait, are they trying to sneak this one in and surprise the Eagles that Xavier Worthy's available to play?
No, if anything, I think
and
it's
that's
they're
why
trying
no
to
one's, or they're trying to make it seem
I
like
think
he is
trying to
sure,
have
sure.
where the Eagles have to, potentially plan just in case he is available. I think that's more what this is too.
Sure. It could be. I mean, obviously, the gamesmanship could play either side of that. So, I get it. I was just curious where you guys were on that.
Chris Jones did speak to the media. Obviously, it was an interesting game one for him based off of how it finished. And then in postgame, he owned the mistake there on 3rd and 14. But he also just spoke minutes ago.
Listen, I think the energy in the building is great. Everybody is excited to be back in Arrowhead, be back at home. The energy is good, man. The energy is good. Everybody has a positive mind frame. Philadelphia Eagles come in the town. We still have a bad taste in our mouth from the Super Bowl, so everyone is in a good space.
Chris, the end of the game we saw on camera, you and Drew, you guys had a few days to talk this out. What happened in the game, and where are you guys now?
Same where we was before the game. Teammates looking to get each other better.
Chris, with Jalen Hurts and how he moves around and can take off scrambling, what are you guys going to be mindful of?
Just our lanes in rushing a passer. Got to be aggressive on rushing a passer. More aggressive than we was the first game of the season. We're going to put that behind us. And we got a lot of skill set guys in our room that we got to be aggressive in rushing the passer and making sure we take the quarterback down.
Chris, it looked like, and Steve kind of said, you guys were looking run a little bit more early and they came out going on every down. It's not an excuse, but, obviously you were set with a defense that was a run defense. How do you get better at just getting a pass rush when you, even though you don't have the right call in this center, or aren't looking for the right, run versus pass?
Well, Spags might not like this answer, but We're going to play the run on the way to the quarterback, man. We'll meet at the quarterback and in the run. We'll make sure we stop it on the way to it.
What's the challenge with this Eagles offensive line? Obviously, they're really well coached, but what stands out about them and what's the challenge for them?
You know, that's a well-coached group, very cohesive group. Got some big bodies. They got a lot of talent over there. Lane Johnson, the left tackle. There's some of the better tackles in the league. And Leonard Dickerson, you know, he's a stout guy. And the center who Jason Kelce picked, it kind of mirrors the Jason Kelce game. So they have a very good front. The right guard who came from Alabama is very, very huge, athletic. So, yeah, offers a challenge, offers a good challenge to us as a D-line to get after it. And, you know, we love to compete against, you know, this type of talent. So gives us a challenge to compete against a better offensive line and, you know, get after it.
Chris, Ashton looks to play well in his limited snaps. I guess how far have you seen him come in the short
time he's been here? He's coming along. You know, he's still young, so we can't put too much responsibility on Ashton. But in everything we've asked of him, he's done well, and I think he'll continue to get better throughout the year.
Chris, you guys have played as the defending champions for the previous 2 years. Now that you're playing the defending champion, can you feel the sort of energy that maybe you guys have been matched up against for the past couple of years?
Listen, you know, it's a very fortunate situation to make it to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we didn't win. It gives us a little more of an edge that we didn't win, that we get to have an opportunity to play these guys again, you know, against a heck of a team, starting with Jalen Hurts and those outside receivers of his. And, you know, this is a heck of a team. Saquon, you know, you can go on and on about the talent that these guys have on their offense. So, you know, for us, you know, offers the challenge to play them again and also get some payback.
Get some payback. That would be nice on Sunday out at Arrowhead. And it's weird. It's turned into, like, if the Chiefs would have beat the Chargers, it would have been all about, hey, just go get payback. This game is about payback Sunday, but more importantly, it's just about getting right and getting things on track.
Getting a win.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know?
But yes, you're right. Balancing some of the stuff that went wrong in that first game. Look, Chris Jones, he's like, Spags don't like it, but I'll stop the run on the way to the quarterback. That goes to part of where one of the biggest issues in the game was when we settled in a week before the season. We said, all right, you know what? Offensive line is no longer our number one question on the team. What is it? My answer to that was defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, can you get pressure with four without having to send a blitz? I don't want to have to go back into where they were last year. And every time they were trying to get pressure, it's a linebacker coming. Drew Tranquil's got a 2-sack game. I don't have a sack from Chris Jones. Like, I want the front four to occasionally get pressure without the needing of assistance. I will say, I saw a couple stats this week that did not make me feel great about it. I don't know. Scheme? Is that the right way to do it? Because obviously they got an eye for talent. Drew, you'd mentioned one. Mike Pinnell led the NFL in run stops for anybody who played over 20 steps. I'm like, boy, you know what? They didn't have a hard time against the run, but, you know, that's
Chargers
a stat that sounds out.
Chargers didn't run the ball, yeah.
Do you guys know which NFL player led the NFL in pressures last week? And, yeah, sure, guess some. You know, the normal one's Gold. You're probably going to say, like, T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the guys you would expect.
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett. Totally normal guesses, guys.
No. The way you're framing this means that there's somebody that used to play for the Chiefs as well.
It's currently a Philadelphia Eagle. He'll come to town this week.
Beautiful.
The guy who led the NFL in pressures last week was Josh Uche.
No.
Do you remember Josh Uche?
I know the name.
He got brought in here when the Chiefs didn't have a pass rush. Random pass rusher could not get on the field. Couldn't get on the field over Felix and Udike Uzama. And he led the NFL in pressure rate last week. And I'm like, what is it about this team and pressure with four that seems to be such a mystery to them?
So this is a question probably for Spags or a coach. Like,
sure,
one
sure.
Day, defense, like, yeah. I would love to actually – Tyrann Mathieu would have been another good player to ask. He was on the show earlier. The Uche stuff last year, was there a disconnect between coach and front office? And what I mean by that is
– that they brought him in.
I don't think Uche is a player that Spags likes and fits his scheme. I don't think it fits. And you're like, well, then why do they trade for him? Fair question.
Great question.
And that's
that'd be a question for Brett.
So I guess when you bring this up, like, I think he's probably a good scheme fit for the Eagles. Clearly he wasn't for Spags.
Yeah, he does like a different style. But like also, this goes to the adjustment part of the NFL. are you looking at it wrong? Like, if you're Spags, he's a great defensive coordinator. Have you not made this adjustment you need to? Is this the adjustment you need to make? Because as of right now, we are in two straight years of you not being able to consistently get, not two straight years, a year and a game, of not being able to consistently get pressure with the front four. You target the guys, you help them choose Jelati or Omar Norman Lott. You obviously brought back Mike Dana. You told him to bring in Nadi. Chris Jones is obviously great, but like, you're still not getting pressure with those four. It requires your genius of exotic blitzes in order to do it. At some point, the way you're using these guys in your scheme, is there a way to get more out of, in a pressure perspective, the guys you have on your roster? Or are you targeting not the right kind of defensive lineman for what you do defensively?
Somebody mentions, and this is something I saw as well, and I don't know if this has to do with Spags, and his like for the player getting in front and getting in the way, but I saw a lot of stuff about Nick Bolton. Again, it's like, man, Spags likes Nick Bolton too much. I think he's ignoring, or he's looking past what we kind of saw and noticed last year, where the same thing kind of happened, where Will Dissly is getting some plays made, or they got Bolton also covering Johnston, or whatever, like coming across them, whatever the case is. Nick Bolton isn't, like, is that something also that might be hurting, just not beyond the defensive line, where Spags likes Nick Bolton enough where they brought him back, but it ignores the fact that he can't cover very well, and passing, that got exposed last season.
Passing situations, that is the biggest weakness, I think, Nick Bolton. But I think what we're also seeing is when you already moved on from Justin Reed.
You need leader.
And you cannot also – this is, I think, why Nick Bolton ended up back with the team too. Like, they could not lose Bolton and Reed. We thought there was miscommunication on Friday against the Chargers, and guys were in wrong spots and running into each other. Imagine if Steve Spagnuolo didn't have Nick Bolton there as well. And I know it's very easy to say, well, yeah, third down, he's terrible in coverage. I'm not disagreeing, but he's too valuable in other areas. So I think a lot of that is more of he still is the guy they trust to get everybody in the right spot, even if this past week one of the issues I thought was communication. But I think the frustration – Nick Bolton, he didn't magically in the offseason become a great coverage linebacker as well. That's his weakness. That's an area where they can get exposed.
But they've also, in years where Nick Bolton's been on this team, gotten pressure with the front four three years ago.
But the Chargers didn't even try to run the ball. But in a game like this on Sunday, this is a game for Nick Bolton. This game on Sunday against Barkley, against the Tush Push, against Jalen Hurts, this is a Nick Bolton game.
I mean, especially because the reports are that Dallas Goedert might not play. Like, Goedert was a target machine the other day, and I'm just thinking of Bolton having to cover him, or you look at the other tight ends who they're going to have to play, and Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, if he's able to come back for the Ravens in that game. I mean, it just, that would be a little bit of a concern, where I understand all the stuff that he brings to the table, but in a moment that you might need him to cover a tight end, just looking at some of the tight ends who they're going to have to face in the division, as well as everything else, it's something to pay attention to.
No, it is. It absolutely is. But we're going to see which way this goes here defensively. I would point out the same thing. I really think, and we'll hear from Tyrann Mathieu in a minute, it is so important to note that typically this defense starts slow and then finds its rhythm. You and I have just said that, unfortunately, they don't have quite that wiggle room
with
Xavier
offense.
Worthy and Rashee Rice and an offensive line that's trying to learn, and like, there's just so much going on. It's easier said than done. And they're like, well, we'll just make it work. Like, it doesn't, you know, it can't exactly work that way. So we'll see which way it goes. We'll see which way it goes. Because, again, that's a difficult thing and a difficult ask for the defense. This feels like such a huge swing game, like you said, emotionally. It's like, from a narrative perspective, they go out and beat the Eagles, a team that kicked their ass in the Super Bowl after losing their first game without Xavier Worthy, let's say.
Yeah,
everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, they're still pretty good, that team.
The same way I talked before the season, that if they would have started out, 2-0, it would have shut everybody up and done all these things. The reverse is potentially going to happen. If you go out and you start 0-2, it will only reinforce what the national narrative was after getting your butt kicked in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, if you win on Sunday, everybody takes a deep breath from the fan base, national media says, wow, that was a pretty impressive win against Philly. In fact, it'll flip. If the Eagles, who did not look great against the Cowboys last week, in a win, they did win, that's all that matters to a certain extent. If they lose the Chiefs after the Chiefs look terrible against the Chargers, then the Eagles all of a sudden what you were saying earlier about how you view the Packers or the Commanders, then all of a sudden people say, are the Eagles a top two team in the NFC anymore?
Yeah, they're like barely.
It's amazing how quickly things
yeah.
shift based on one game. There's a difference between what we think the fans need, feel, and the vibes, and what the team is. If the team starts 0-2, look, it's obviously not great. It puts you in a really bad spot from a division, from a seeding perspective. But I don't think we suddenly should think that this team is only winning 9 games.
Unless they get their ass kicked. And then but it's the nuance
of it. Yeah, it's the nuance of it. Do they win?
They lose 30-7.
Or do they lose? Yeah, do they lose on a last-second Jake Elliott 64-yard field goal when the Mahomes and the offense look good or the defense look good? And like, that sucks, but it's like, okay. Or do they lose where they score 10 points and the defense can't get a single stop? They lose 28-10, which in the Mahomes era, that's been pretty rare. It's basically been the Bucs game and the Eagles game, and that's about it, losing a game like that. But you get my point. Yeah, I think
one
nuance always matters. Do we see improvement and they just lose a tough game, or is it just a clear performance like they just had against the Chargers where it's like, man, they were slow out of the gate, and the Eagles can do whatever they want, and the Chiefs are playing come from behind, and Patrick Mahomes has to play hero ball. And all. If it's that again, then it's a different vibe.
Very different vibe.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Plus, earlier today, Tyrann Mathieu, former Chiefs safety, Super Bowl champion, called into the show. He will be banging that drum on Sunday out at Arrowhead. We also got his perspective on what he needs to see from this defense.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, the Royals back at it tonight. They're trying to at least get a split here in Cleveland. They take on the Guardians. 6:15 first pitch at Progressive Field. It'll be Stephen Kolick on the bump, Vern's on deck show at 5 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. I mean, it's pretty simple. The Royals now are really up against it. Must win games just about every time out. They need a winning streak. They have got to get on honestly, it's not even like hyperbolic or anything. I think they need a 5-plus game winning streak over the next week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely fear it, obviously. Hopefully they get another winning with Kolick on the mound tonight. Next up on what's trending, Xavier Worthy is expected to practice today for the Chiefs. I don't want to overplay that and pretend like that means he's playing on Sunday, but he is going to practice for the Chiefs. That comes to a surprise of many. I see Ian Rappaport say, even if it doesn't mean he's playing on Sunday, that's good news for his recovery timeline or how quickly they might get him back on the field. Honestly, when you found out what the injury was, my assumption was at least a month before we'd see Xavier Worthy, maybe around the time Rashee Rice came back. I'm not saying that timeline changed entirely yet, but it's a pretty good sign if he's already on the practice field. We'll see in what capacity the injury report will come out
later
for the
Chiefs.
That's
the thing. Yeah, exactly. What did he do? But maybe on the shorter end of 3 weeks versus longer than that. But I also, as we were talking about before, I wonder if it's a little bit of gamesmanship going on here as well. Don't forget tonight, Thursday Night Football, Commanders, Packers from Lambeau. Commanders 3.5-point underdogs, so we'll see what Micah Parsons looks like again for the Packers, and a big opportunity for another statement for the Commanders. You know, they had a great year last year. This year, if they were to go to Lambeau and start off 2-0, okay, Commanders suddenly would vault up the list of teams people take even more seriously than they did towards the end of last season when they were playing really good football. But that's a big one. Total for the game sitting at 48.5 over at FanDuel.
Next up on what's trending, a couple of injury updates in the NFL. Brock Purdy is now expected to miss 2 to 5 weeks with what they're calling a turf toe variant. I don't know what that means. He was originally, obviously, going to be sidelined this weekend for a shoulder injury, but it turns out he's got other ailments as well. That obviously comes on the bad news that they put George Kittle on the injured reserve as well. So we'll see what happens with the 49ers this week, because they've got an easy opponent, but Mac Jones will make the start. And Ed Oliver was added to the Bills injury list kind of surprisingly today for Buffalo. He did not practice today and was seen in the locker room in a walking boot. No update on what his injury is yet either.
That's what's trending here on Cody Engel. Don't forget, we're live out at Rally House Barry Woods Crossing. If you're in the area, you have till 2 o'clock to register to win a $250 gift card. But if you just know you're heading out to Arrowhead this weekend, or you got a tailgate going on or a party going on this weekend, you need to get stocked up, figure out your tailgate gear, grab some new shirts before the start of the season. Some people like to get that just before the season, just to get that new jersey, get that new shirt before the season starts. They even have a shirt just for Sunday's game here that for the Chiefs and the Eagles as well, then come on by to Rally House, any of their locations in the area, KC, up in North KC, Lenexa, Plaza, P&L, Independence, Overland Park, and, of course, at rallyhouse.com. Earlier today, Tyrann Mathieu, the former Chiefs safety, the Super Bowl champ, who will be banging the drum on Sunday at Arrowhead, joined us, and we started our conversation just asking him, like, how do you get chosen? Do you get a call from Andy? Do you get a call from someone in the front office? How's that all work?
Well, you know, being a Chiefs, I've really always had a pretty good relationship. You know what I mean? And you know, really since I left too, and you know, I think that's obviously starts with Clark and you know Mark and you know, definitely Coach Reed and Brett Veach. So, and even Spags. So I've been in communication with these guys, you know, for the last couple of years. I guess it's just, you know, having some good relationships, and you know, I guess those guys miss me a little bit. They want to see my face, you know.
Yeah, I think. Well, I'll be honest, Tyrann. I think some fans missing you as well. We'll get into the performance from the team recently. I know you were part of the YouTube pregame show there as the Chiefs took on the Chargers in Brazil. But do you, now that you're retired? I think it's only been like a month, if I'm not mistaken. I know you were in camp, I think, briefly with the Saints. Even just thinking about the atmosphere Sunday, watching week one of the season, like, did you get the itch already a little bit?
Yeah, man. You know, probably, you know, definitely, man. You know, man, I love football. You know, I love everything about it. And, you know, obviously, probably was a big shocker to a lot of people that know me. Because, you know, most people that know me probably figured I'd play 18, 20 years. You know what I mean? But I just felt like it was the right time for me. And to be honest, man, like, you know, I'm ready for my next challenge. You know, I'm ready to see, like, what's out there for me that I can, you know, really just challenge myself. You know, I felt like football, you know, I kind of maxed out, right? Like, I accomplished everything. I played everywhere I wanted to play. You know what I mean? And it could be kind of hard finding that motivation. So I'm just really looking forward to that going forward. Just finding some new motivation and looking forward to a new challenge.
Did you start looking back at, like, you know, like, we always ask Andy, like, hey, what did you think of this? He's like, I'll reflect on my career when I'm done with it. Did you spend a little bit of time remembering the time at Kansas City or thinking about your time in New Orleans and reflecting a little bit, I guess, on the career you had?
Yeah, man. You know, really every day, man. You know, and just being grateful, you know, like just being so grateful, man. You know, the way I came into the league and, you know, obviously, you know, coming up under Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson, I really felt like those two guys played, you know, an important role for me as a youngster. You know, they gave me something to look up to. They gave me something to believe in that was much bigger than myself. And, man, the coaches, too. Like, I think about my coaches and, you know, Bruce Arians and Andy Reid and, you know, Romeo Crennel and Steve Spagnuolo. Like I've literally been coached by some of the best coaches this game has to offer, you know. And, yeah, man, just looking back on that, the relationships, the guys I was able to play with, like, you know, I was on the field with Patrick Mahomes and J.J. Watt, right? Like, two of the greatest players of our time, right? And I just feel so blessed, man, and fortunate that I was able to have those experiences.
We're talking to Tyrann Mathieu here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned, you know, you're kind of ready for that next challenge. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the show with us right now. I tweeted it out when I was watching it. I thought you crushed it on the YouTube pregame show. Is that next challenge maybe for you? Are you wanting to get into broadcasting more?
Well, you know, I really wanted to kind of take the fall off and just kind of figure out, you know, what's next for me. I think I know. I think most people that know me, they know. Like, at some point, I'll be coaching, right? At some point.
Sure.
But I kind of want to give myself some time, you know, to do that because obviously, man, like, you know, leaving a game, playing 12 years in the NFL and then going right into coaching, it's probably an even more brutal schedule than it was when I was playing, right? And, you know, I remember some nights texting, you know, Dave Merritt and Spags, and, you know, it's like 12:30 at night, and he's still at work, you know? And I just, you know, so I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet, but I think I'll get there, you know, eventually.
What level do you want to coach? NFL? Or are you interested in, like, college or high school? Or, you know, is there a certain level you're interested in being in?
To be honest, I'm not opposed to any of them, really. I think high school, I could probably be more of a benefit to kids, right, trying to push them to the next level. But I know if I take a college or an NFL job, you know, just being able to relate to those kids and motivate them and, you know, being able to speak their language, I think that, too, would probably, you know, just be a good look you know. But yeah, man, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I just want to be, you know, somewhere where, you know, culture matters, the people matter, community matters. And so as long as I can kind of get that, I can, you know, I can deal with whatever football brings.
Let's talk about the team on the field. We had played a clip earlier that Gronk was suggesting the idea that if the Chiefs lose to the Eagles, maybe they become more human. People know they can punch him in the mouth. I kind of likened it to, I felt like everyone took the Patriots serious, even during the 10-year run in which they weren't winning Super Bowls. What do you think the mindset is on the Chiefs right now from the other teams in the league? Not TV or radio people, from the other teams in the league right now, knowing their last two games were losing to the Chargers, but I think that lasting image of them losing badly to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Chiefs have been on top for a while, right? And so, you know, it's going to be a lot of people that kind of magnify, right, the bad things that happened to them, and, you know, they try to minimize the great things, right? And so I think the Chiefs are I think they're in a great position because of the people that they have leading the team. And so, you know, obviously Coach Reed and Spags and, you know, Mahomes, right? Like, I think those guys, you know, those guys don't want to lose three games in a row. I can tell you that right now. And so, you know, they're turning over every rock, right? Like, they're going to figure this thing out. And that's one thing I always respected with, you know, my time in Kansas City, right? Because if you can look back, you know, we never really started off that hot, right? Like, we always kind of built ourselves into that as the season went on. So, but yeah, I think the Chiefs are all right, man. Like, I'm not panicking. I know a lot of people. I've been hearing a lot of different things. I thought that was a bad take, you know, by Gronk, right?
Yeah.
You know, because the Chiefs have been physical. They have been a physical team. They have been a great defense, right? Like, they've made those plays in those critical moments. And so, yeah, man, like you know, you just get a bad stretch every now and then, right? But I never bet against Patrick or Coach Reed or any of those guys.
We're talking to Tyrann Mathieu here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned where this defense in the past, you know, has built itself up as the season goes, and it looks like that obviously is hopefully going to be the case for Spags. But what did you see as you're watching the game? Is there something that's easier to correct than otherwise? I mean, from a non-player perspective, it seemed like maybe communication and guys were just running into each other. That seems more correctable to me, the non-player, versus maybe some other issues with, if you think there's any personnel changes down the road. But what did you see specifically from the defense that you think is pretty correctable almost right away for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, it's like do your job, right? And, you know, every game's a big game in Chiefs Kingdom, right? Like, can we all want to make those spectacular plays, and right? But you have to just find a way to do that within a defense, you know? And, you know, if you look back to the game, you know, against the Chargers, right? It wasn't that it was a bad defensive call. Maybe this guy got out of the gap, right? Like, maybe this guy didn't contain on a particular rep that he was supposed to. And so I think with Coach Spags and Coach Reed, like they'll figure that part out. They'll get guys back to just doing your job. And that's all defense is, right? Do your job, right, and make the players that come to you. But don't try to go outside of that and create, like, your own, because then you end up hurting the team. So – but I see those guys fixing that, man. Week one is always like, you know, people want to just kind of like sink the whole season, right? Because it's one game. And, you know, those guys got 16, 17 more games to really figure it out. But, yeah, man, like just do your job. Just do your job, stay in your gap, especially when the game's on the line.
From an outsider's perspective, Tyrann, what's the, like, is there a fine line? What's the difference between how we should view when guys get after each other, right? I liked that Drew Tranquil was telling Chris Jones, you missed your assignment. But obviously there's times where that leads to infighting between it and it's not productive. How can you tell from the outside when telling someone that they're not doing their job right is productive, even if it looks like you're being combative about it, versus like it really is, these two people don't get along and it's a problem?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, like you're going to go through that, right? You know, as captain, as leader, you know, you got to have tough conversations, right? Like, you got to be able to call people out. You got to be able to hold people accountable. But you got to do it in a way that is beneficial, right? Like, I don't want to call you out and then you tank on me, right? Like, I want to call you out and then you raise your level of intensity. You raise your enthusiasm. And so I think it's just those guys kind of just figuring that part out. You know, I think Drew's a great player, right? I think he's a good leader, right? Like, he clearly is one of those guys that, you know, leaves it all out on the field. So, I think him having, something to say is not odd, right? Because he's one of those guys that's, really putting it on the line, each and every play. But you just got to find that fair balance, man. And then you got to know who you're dealing with, right? Like, some guys may be more performative than others when, you're kind of approaching them or, interacting with them.
What do you think this last week has been like? You mentioned the coaches are obviously gonna turn over every single stone. But what you've been in that locker room, you've been at those practices, yeah, in that facility. What do you think the mentality and just everything is like from the coaches to individual players after what happened last week?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, nobody's smiling, right? Like everything's serious. I think the intensity, probably is to the roof, right? Like everything matters, right? And that's the thing about playing sports, man. Like, we don't get to pick what details matter. They all matter, right? And so it's just about getting your guys to buy into that and believe in that. And it's always hard, too. Like, we can't like, understate that, right? Like, it's hard going to the Super Bowl, right? Like, and just, like, having that letdown, right? And then guys coming back, like, probably going to still have some residue from that game, man. But man, you just got to keep chipping away, each and every day, just keep chipping away at it.
Tyron, I know we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you're banging the drum for the Chiefs come Sunday. If they need you at halftime, you still willing to put on a uniform or what's up?
Yeah, man, I definitely can definitely go out there and maybe play like a little 2-minute drill or third. Definitely could play third down for sure.
There you go, third down.
Yeah,
just get a couple of snaps and you don't want to be running all.
Just put me in the game when they're throwing the ball.
yeah, I'm sure you'd love that. You got the family coming in for this and everything?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal, man. Obviously, my kids are excited, right? Like, we're all excited to be back in Arrowhead and, be back in front of fans, man. Like, I tell people, bro, like, I've been blessed, man. I played at LSU. I played at Tiger Stadium, right? Like, I played in the Superdome, right? Like, but, man, it's nothing quite like Arrowhead, and so it's going to be fun to be back home and just see everybody, right? Like, and hopefully, man, like, I can kind of inspire those guys. Hopefully I can give those guys some enthusiasm, some extra juice, before this game, because it is a big game. I think we definitely need to win this game to really, show people that, hey, we had a few hiccups, but, like we're okay. We're still the Chiefs.
So that was Tyron Matthew a little bit earlier today. He'll be at Arrowhead Sunday banging the drum. And it sounded like he's going to speak maybe to the team or at least talk to some of the guys before the game. Or that's something that will be interesting to follow up on after the game if the defense does play better and whether or not Tyron addressed anybody on the team or met with Spags or anything like that too.
Yeah, it was really interesting. He obviously had a lot of I thought good takes on what it's like to be a member of this defense, mm-hmm, and what they've traditionally done. But the motivation part, he's like, yeah, I want to talk to him. I want to get the guys fired up. I want to lead the way. Look, I imagine the drum honoree often speaks briefly to the team. The difference is that Tyron Matthew knows pretty much every member of the coaching staff. Every guy either played with Tyron Matthew, against Tyron Matthew, and he's not been gone long enough that most of the young guys who didn't do either of those things don't remember Tyron Matthew. As an NFL player, he was a member of an all-decade team. You can't tell me he doesn't have something for Jaden Hicks? Like, he can talk to the team as much as he wants. Fine with me.
He admitted he kind of got the itch a little bit after retiring. It's only been a month. But he said he's ready for, the next challenge, and clearly he plans on coaching. Maybe it's 5 years from now. Maybe it's a year from now. But I thought it was pretty good in the pregame show there for YouTube during the Chiefs game or before the Chiefs game. That, to me, was like the only good part about the YouTube broadcast, I thought, overall.
Yeah, there was a lot of it I didn't like.
Great, but him as a coach, everybody knows that that's at some point something he's going to do. The question will be at what level.
How long does he take off and at what level? Yeah.
As he said, he thinks just because of his story and anybody that has followed his career more than just in Kansas City, going back to his LSU days and the story around him before he went there, and then obviously in the draft and everything like that, just in terms of being able to talk about experiences and maybe kids that are going through things as well. He would be an unbelievable coach, but also just
I can speak to you. I've been through these experiences.
I think he
but also just
amazing.
Knows ball.
Yeah.
Like the in for Tyron Matthews, the reason why he was such a great player is he knows defenses. He knows scheme. You want to talk about a guy who could coach you up in the, like, you want to know what you have to know? I can help you get there. What's interesting to me is, like, what level he ends up at. Does he become a defensive backs coach for Andy Reid?
I could see college.
College makes a lot of sense for him in the sense, you know, like if somebody put him on a defensive staff at LSU, someone put him on a defensive staff at an SC. Like if I were Missouri and he's like, hey, we'll let you come be defensive, maybe not coordinator right away, but we'll let you come be the DB's coach immediately. I'd be all over Tyrann Mathieu doing that kind of job.
I wonder the timeline for him because he acknowledged he's like some of these coaches, the hours are worse than you know than being a player.
It's bad.
He's got some young kids still, so I wonder.
Five to 10 years.
Him and his wife just had a child in the last 6 months, I believe. So I wonder based on that, I wonder if it could be a couple of years. Yeah, before
or maybe do high school. High school, the hours are bad gold, but it's not like being a college or an NFL assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
You're not running those kinds of hours. And what's weird about it is, like, I think he'd be incredible at being a high school coach. That, like, motivator, knows the game, knows what it takes to get you to the other level.
That was
like,
the first that he mentioned out of all the three. He said high school. Mm-hmm. He thinks he could help kids. And
I think he'd like to help kids at that age, yeah. You know? Like, some people just enjoy it. It's not about the challenge of figuring out the highest level you can coach. Some people, it's about the experience you get there.
I'm glad he's getting a chance to bang the drum. I know you and I have gone back and forth over the years about, you know, long-term, fast forward 10, 15 years from now, if he's eventually
a Ring of Honor
guy. You know my feeling on that. I think he should be. I think he, you know, despite how it ended in Kansas City and, you know, he wanted to stay, and he's obviously a very emotional person. We saw that on Twitter at times as well. I think he was a huge shift and what helped jumpstart the run that the Chiefs have been on. I'm not saying he is the reason. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But I think defensively, and we all know what the defense was like before him and Spags mm-hmm. arrived, I think he played a vital role in why this run has been where it's at. And as you said it, he's an all-decade team member as well. And to me, he has a strong argument, you know, fast forward down the road. Doesn't mean it has to happen recently. There was guys we talked about. I mean, Kimble Anders got on the Ring of Honor, 25, 30 years after he played or something? Or maybe not 30, but I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. But he played in the late 90s and early 2000s. So it could be 20 years from now. I don't know. But I think he deserves that opportunity. And honor and all that. But Sunday will be cool. You know, he'll have the crowd fired up.
But it'll be because of the, like it can't just be on-field accomplishments for Tyrann if you're putting him in the Ring of Honor. It's got to be for all the reasons you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership and the stuff that kind of comes with it. And he's obviously loved continuing to be around Kansas City and those other things.
He still comes back to KC quite a bit. He still has a property in Kansas City. And I believe his kids still play some sports in the local area as well. So, yeah, he still has ties here as well.
No, it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. Good luck to Tyrann there in the future. The defensive side of it, I mean, him saying we usually start slow. He said we. That's what he said.
He did say we.
We usually start slow. Always scares me, man, especially when they're missing offensive players. We'll keep an eye on where these practice status later today, obviously.
Thanks to Rally House for having us out here at Barry Woods Crossing. Of course, the place to get geared up before the Chiefs take on the Eagles on Sunday. Tomorrow you can see us as well. We'll be out and about, 5 minutes north of where we're at now? We'll be
practically next
door. Community America, their location up here as well. Big Red Friday tailgate, Chiefs cheerleaders, KC Wolf.
Free food for the first 100
people. A chance to win Chiefs-Eagles tickets. So tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun as well. Appreciate our guests, Dane and Hughes, Paul Charchi, and Tyrann Mathieu. Up next, The Drive with C.Dot and Rob.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.